I'd like to ask Mikorsky, Rosh Hashanah Yiddish University, to share words of Torah and words of
Kitzur. Rosh Hashanah is a day of paradox. I'd like to explore together three aspects of that paradox, or three different paradoxes presented by the day, by the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, first and foremost in our consciousness, Yom Hadin, the first of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. As such, the not only natural association, but need, urgent and vital need, is to do tshuva. The Rambam tells us in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva that an indispensable component of tshuva, in order for tshuva to be a source of kapara, in order for tshuva to be a source of atonement, is that we have to be misvade bepeh. We have to articulate the inner experience of tshuva. Chotasi avisi pashati lefanecho asisi kach v'kach hari nichamti uboshti v'masai la'olam ein nichoza l'dovo zeh. We have to acknowledge, we have to express a sense of remorse, of embarrassment, specify the chait, and our resolve not to repeat the chait. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Hadin, we need that atonement afforded by tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, the first of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, and yet, there's no vidui on Rosh Hashanah. And what's more, there's not supposed to be any vidui on Rosh Hashanah. The Nusach HaRizal dramatizes the point, but the point is there, according to all opinions, according to all Nuschos. The HaRizal says that even when we say Avinu Malkeinu, we should omit the first Avinu Malkeinu. We shouldn't even say the Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. We should begin with Ein Lanu Melech Elo Ata. So that's paradox number one. How is it? How can it be that the Yom Adin, the first of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, as it were, we're not engaging in what's necessary to respond to the day? Now, paradoxical though it might be, on the other hand, it's also very understandable why there's no vidui on Rosh Hashanah, why there's no mention of chet on Rosh Hashanah. Imagine a coronation of an earthly king, of a Melech Basav Adam. Everyone is swearing absolute loyalty and fidelity to the king. And some villager comes up and very sincerely says to the king, maybe audibly as well, that others are able to hear it, "You know, I wanted to apologize for that time when you came to visit our village. If you'll remember, you were pelted. There was verbal abuse, and then you were even pelted with all kinds of objects. You know, I was the one who did that, and I feel terrible, and I'm prostrating myself before you that you should forgive me." So clearly, no matter how sincere that request for forgiveness is, it's totally, totally out of place, totally inappropriate. It contradicts the very notion of coronating the king. When coronating the king, there can't even be an allusion to anyone violating the king's honor, anyone violating the king's word. Any such allusion is a contradiction to the very notion of kingship. So clearly, Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Tov of Hachtorah, a Yom Tov of coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there can't be mention of chet. So that sort of explains one side of the paradox, but it doesn't help us understand. So how are we able to function on Rosh Hashanah given this paradox? The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that kol ha-meshamer Shabbos kol chaso. If a person observes Shabbos properly, not just according to the letter of the law, according to the spirit of the law, even if he has been tainted by avodah zarah, by idolatry, similar to the generation of Enosh when avodah zarah first entered the world, is mochlin lo, he's forgiven. How can he get forgiveness? How can he get atonement? Let's assume that in this context those two are interchangeable. Where's the vidui dvarim? He didn't engage, he didn't say ashamnu, he didn't clap al chait on Shabbos. So what that Gemara in Shabbos suggests is that what the Rambam is describing and what the Rambam is outlining in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, the path to attaining kapara, to attaining forgiveness and atonement, is the path which is operative at all times. But there are special times, there are zmanim miyuchadim, there are special times when apparently the Torah provides for a different mechanism, an additional mechanism or track through which, along which one can attain kapara. And apparently Shabbos is such an example. If that's the case, so then that already suggests a perspective on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe there's something which is equally true on Rosh Hashanah. But let's understand Shabbos a little bit more, and then maybe it will shed some light on what this track on Rosh Hashanah is as well. The Sfarim explain Shabbos is a day of Malchus Shamayim. Shabbos is Bayom HaShvi, the Sfarim explain. Rav Pinkus quotes this in his Kuntres of Shabbos Malkasa. The Pasuk, which enumerates the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the midos that we perceive not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, but in his interaction with the world, v'cha Hashem ha'gdula v'agvura v'atiferes v'hanetzach v'ahod k'chol b'ashamayim uva'oretz l'cha Hashem ha'mamlocha. The seventh of the midos is Malchus. Shabbos is Yom HaShvi. Shabbos is a day of Malchus Shamayim. Yismuchu v'malchuscha Shomer Shabbos. But Yom HaShvi is Nis'ala v'yashav al kisei malchusa. Shabbos is a day of Malchus. The Yisra Malacha, I think Rav Pinkus in his Kuntres depicts, imagine the king comes to visit, all the stores are going to close, everything's going to stop, and everything's going to be focused on the king and his visit. There's no business as usual. There are three moments or three stages in the revelation of Malchus Shamayim in this world. Briyas HaOlam, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Azai Melech Shmo Nikra. When Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, La'es Nasa V'cheftzo Kol Azai Melech Shmo Nikra. The second moment or the second stage of Malchus Shamayim was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Go, a melech is gozer gezeros on his subjects. And the third moment, the third stage, is la'asav lavo is Bayom Mahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. The second Olam B'Malchus Shakai. Those are the three moments or the three stages in Malchus Shemayim. And again, as all the Svarim explain, the three Tfilos of Shabbos are coordinated with these three moments or stages or phases of Malchus Shemayim. Ata Kidashes Yom Hashvi Lishmecha, we quote the Psukim of Vayichulu, is Keneged Malchus Shemayim of Briyas HaOlam. Yismach Moshe B'matnas Chelko, coordinated Mechuvan Keneged Malchus Shemayim of Matan Torah. And Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad V'Hoya Hashem L'Mel HaKol Oret Yi Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad, that Mincha Shabbos is coordinated, reflects, anticipates the stage of Malchus Shemayim L'Osad Lava. So Shabbos is a day of Malchus, a day of Malchios. Apparently, Malchios, Kabbalah's Malchus, is an alternate track in terms of attainment of Mechila and Kapara. There's the all-year-long track of Tshuva as defined, as delineated by the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. But then there's this additional track, Shabbos, which is a Zman of Malchus, Kol HaMashamash Shabbos Kelchoso, Afilu, there's a Shemetz HaVodazari Kedar Shal Enosh, is Malchulim Lo. In which case, Yitachen, that the Gemara in Shabbos not only suggests a possible parallel or precedent for what the mechanism of Hasagas, Mechila, Slicha V'Chaporo on Rosh Hashanah is, but is actually telling us what that track is. Rosh Hashanah also, B'Chodesh HaShvi, also is a day of Malchios, the day of Malchios par excellence. That through the Kabbalah's Malchios, so it's not the answer or the explanation to this paradox of how it is that on the Yom HaDin, how it is on the first of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we can't conform with what the Rambam describes and what the Rambam codifies for us in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva. The answer to that is because there is this additional track on Rosh Hashanah, one that's consistent with the fact that Rosh Hashanah is a time of Hachtorah, a time of Malchios, and that is through the Malchios. Chet consists of my agenda coming before the Ribbono Shel Olam's agenda. Chet consists of my forgetting the Ribbono Shel Olam. Malchios, a person lives, experiences, internalizes Malchios in this special Zman of Malchios, that achieves the same result. That's the first paradox. Second paradox. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. If we want to know, halacha l'maisa, practically, what the parameters of Issur Melacha are on Rosh Hashanah, what Melacha we're allowed to do, what Melacha we're enjoined from doing, so the answer is the same as on Pesach, the same as on Sukkot, the same as on Shavuos. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. Unlike Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shabbosim Hulachem, which is Shabbos as well, Rosh Hashanah is purely Yom Tov. The difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos, Kayodua, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazvanim versus Mekadesh HaShabbos, is that Yom Tov is Yisrael the Kachinu L'Zmanim. Yom Tov, the initiative, as it were, comes from us. When Yom Tov will be is determined by when Beis Din declares Rosh Chodesh. The initiative, as it were, comes from us. Hence, Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim, Yisrael D'Kanchinu L'Zmanim, that we sanctify the Yom Tov. As opposed to Mekadesh HaShabbos, there the initiative is purely Mimal. The initiative is purely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Din, I think our association with din is one of passivity. The judge sits on the seat of judgment and he passes judgment. We would have expected Rosh Hashanah to be a Bechina of Shabbos. We would have expected Rosh Hashanah to reflect that the initiative is exclusively HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Now it's true that we're given a chance to argue our case, as it were, to be mispalel. It's true that we're given the opportunity to do tshuva, and yet, I think we all intuit that at the end of the day, the din itself seems to be unilateral. So how do we sort of square that, paradox number two, how do we square that with Yisrael, the Kachinu Lizmanim? Where's the initiative from our end, Mitzidenu, on Rosh Hashanah? The explanation perhaps as follows. Rosh Hashanah as a Yom HaDin, and then this next observation is one I once heard from the Mashkiach in the Yeshiva of Staten Island. Rosh Hashanah as Yom HaDin should not be seen as distinct from Rosh Hashanah as a day of Malchus. Rather, the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. When Paro is celebrating his birthday, so it's also a celebration of his kingship. When a king celebrates his birthday, he's celebrating the fact that he's alive and that he's king. It's a celebration of his kingship. So what happens? It's on that day. Everyone knows that the fate of this of the Sarah Ophim and the Sarah Mashkim is going to be determined. Part of Malchios is din. Part of Malchios is that the king, the sovereign, takes inventory over his domain, over his kingdom, and decides who's going to live, who's going to be restored to his service. That's part of Malchios. Din is part of Malchios. It shouldn't be seen as a separate element of Rosh Hashanah, but it's a facet, it's an expression of Malchios. Now with regard to Malchios, there is a very fundamental insight, I think, first provided by the Ibn Ezra, but then later as well, the Gaon also talks about it. The pasuk where the brothers say to Yosef, after they hear about Yosef's dream, HaMoloch Timloch Aleinu Imoshol Timshol Bonu. So they say, will you be king over us? HaMoloch Timloch Aleinu Imoshol Timshol Bonu. If you will rule over us. So what does it mean to be Molech? What does it mean to be Moshel? So the Ibn Ezra already says that Memshala, to be Moshel, means that the one who governs doesn't do so with the consent of the people. He does so because he has the power. He's able to impose it. And Melucha implies there's a willingness, there's an acceptance, there's a desire for it. The brothers are saying that the Shiftei Kohar are saying to Yosef, HaMoloch Timloch Aleinu, do you think... We hear your dreams. We know what you're thinking. Do you think that even if in Moshel Timshel Bonu, even if you will attain power and be able to impose it upon us, don't kid yourself. It will never be Moloch Timloch Aleinu. Even if in Moshel Timshel Bonu, even if you'll achieve that, it will never be Moloch Timloch Aleinu. So Rosh Hashanah is the day of Malchios. So it means that has to be bilateral, and not only bilateral, but again, Al-Pi the Ibn Ezra, Al-Pi the Gaon, What distinguishes Malchios, what makes Malchios distinct and unique and distinguishes it from simple Memshala, is our initiative. The fact that we welcome HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sovereignty. The fact that we embrace it. The fact that we willingly accept it. That constitutes Malchios. So yes, Rosh Hashanah has to be. Rosh Hashanah has to be a Yom Tov. It can't be a Shabbos. It has to be Yisrael de Katshinu Lizmanim. But if that's true, so that means that part of our acceptance is not only the broad picture of Malchios, but even the din of Malchios. When we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, when we take advantage or try to take advantage of Chodesh Elul to do tshuva, to prepare for Rosh Hashanah, it can be done with one of two kavanas. It can be done with a kavana to save ourselves, that we should emerge from the Yom HaDin with the Gezar Din that we want, that we feel will be favorable. But it can also be done as a way of embracing the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be Yoshev B'din. And if the preparations, if the hachonos are made with that intention as well, so then that contributes to Malchios. Because again, Malchios means it's embraced, it's welcomed, it's desired. If din is one aspect of Malchios, and Malchios means we embrace it, it means we embrace the din as well. Pochadim v'roadim miyom bo'echa. We're terrified and we're trembling, yes, and yet simultaneously, it's Malchios. It's Moloch Timloch Aleinu. We embrace it because a Jew has such a capacity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that capacity, yes, simultaneously. It's pochadim v'roadim. And yet we embrace the din because that's what it means to have Malchios. One last paradox about Rosh Hashanah. Another element of Malchios means Giloy, revelation. The Gemara in Megillah reconstructs a dialogue between David HaMelech and Avigail after Naval, Avigail's husband, so contemptuously rejected David HaMelech's request for supplies, for help. At this point, David HaMelech has already been anointed as king, and David HaMelech indicates to Avigail that he's going to kill Naval as a Moed B'Malchus. The king has the prerogative to do that. If a person is Moed B'Malchus, the king has the prerogative to do that. Avigail answers him and says, you're not allowed at this stage to do that, because adayin lo yotza tivacha ba'olam. You've been anointed king, but you've yet to de facto ascend the throne. You have yet to de facto consolidate your rule. And so long as, maybe de jure, you're already a king, but if de facto you have yet to ascend the throne and consolidate your rule, so then the Malchus is incomplete. Why? Because Malchus means giloy, revelation. Can't be just a de jure Malchus, has to be a de facto Malchus. So the idea of Malchus again is giloy. Which is why in Malchios, again, we have the Bakosha of Yakir V'yedu Ko Yoshve Sevel. Because that's what Malchios means, that there should be this Giloy. There should be this revelation. So Rosh Hashanah, a day of Malchios, is a day of Giloy, a day of revelation. And yet, simultaneously, Rosh Hashanah, Bakesa Liyom Chagenu, is the only Yom Tov which coincides with Rosh Chodesh. The moon, just at different times, only fleetingly visible, at other times, still hidden from our day, from our eyes. Shon is a day of Bakesa, the Yom Chagenu. So apparently, Rosh Hashanah is both. Apparently, with all the Gilui, there remains an aspect of Bakesa. With the revelation, as much as is revealed, as much, if not more, remains hidden. Midas Hadin is associated with the Shem Elokim. Midas Harachamim is associated with the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vovke. Which of the Shiva Shemos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which enjoys the special status, which, at least according to the Rambam, is his name as opposed to an additional name, is the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vovke. With which name did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Ki Bekor Hashem Tzor Olamim. Whatever it means, Liyached Yudke Bevovke. That means that at its root, a root which is not visible to our eyes, anything that emanates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shem HaMeforesh is Yudke Vavke, that which is associated with Rachamim. Ki Bekor Hashem Tzor Olamim. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Giloy, Yotzei Tivo Ba'olam. Part of that Malchus, part of that Giloy is Din. But Kol Zman, that the Giloy is still incomplete, and therefore we lack the perspective, so we taka experience it often with the Midah of Elokim. By Kiddush HaChodesh, we have a bakasha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be memalei pegimas halavona, that the moon should no longer wax and wane. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be memalei pegimas halavona, that the moon should always be full, should be restored to its original status as Shnei HaMaoros HaGedolim, when it was on par with the sun. When that happens, when the Levana is b'milua, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memale pegimas halevana, so then the Giloy becomes complete. Then we don't have the paradox anymore of Bakesa with Giloy. Then the Giloy is complete. Halavai, in the Zchus of the previous paradox that we spoke about, the Yisrael de Kachinu Lizmanim, that it's a Yom HaDin, Pochadim V'Roadim Miyom Boecha, but it's a Din that we embrace. We embrace Din Shamayim even when it's Bakesa Liyom Chagenu, because that's the stage of history at which we live. It's Bakesa Liyom Chagenu, and Afal Pichein, it's Moloch Timloch Aleinu, Halavai, and that's Zuchus. We should live and merit the day of Pegimas Halavana when the Gilui is complete, and the fact that all din, b'shoresh, is really chesed, is really rachamim, is a perspective we'll have. Umala Aretz Deyas Hashem.